Wisconsin Eye is in Janesville at the Hughes Family Farm. It's a sixth generation of Hughes family members have farmed it. It's 5,000 acres, rented and owned. And we're here because it's gone from, in 1991, producing blue corn tortilla chips to, in 2018, it is one of 264 farmers that have applied to grow industrial hemp. So I am so grateful that Willie and his dad, Randy Hughes, have agreed to talk to us about the decision to go into industrial hemp. Gentlemen, thanks very much. You have a family tradition of hemp. And can somebody talk about that? Your family grew it? Go ahead.
Yes, my grandfather grew hemp during the war.
World War II.
World War II, yes, that's right. For the purpose of rope, or for the fiber. And so my dad and my uncles and my grandfather were involved in the production of that. So it's been 65 or 70 years since we've grown hemp in our operation.
Randy, did they do it as part of the war effort, or was it a cash crop, a profitable
crop? It was a cash crop. I don't know the specifics of who paid who for what, but there was an awful lot of concern back then. A lot of people changed their jobs and what they did to support the war effort. It was a paid operation, I'm sure. They took it over to Walworth County, somewhere over there, and had it processed. I believe it might have been Darien is where they took it and had it processed over there, and they used it specifically for the rope. And then my grandfather would get the leftover parts, but bring it back and use it for bedding.
For bedding?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, Willie, you were on the internet, and you discovered that Wisconsin has legalized the growing of industrial hemp.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so hey, Dad, let's talk. Go ahead and walk us through that part.
Yeah, well, we do a lot of specialty crops, and I handle a bulk share of the marketing, and I see it as just doing my due diligence to research new opportunities. We've come across some new crops like sorghum, sunflowers, hairy vetch, all sorts of what I would say crops that maybe are a little more esoteric. And I had come across, on my RSS feed, an article that said that Governor Walker had signed legislation to allow the growing of industrial hemp. So I went to my dad and I said, what do you think? Is it something we want to try? And I think at first we were both, a little cautious and weren't quite sure if it would fit into our rotation, if it would interface well with our equipment. And I think the more I dived in and the more I looked into it, I saw that almost every check mark on our farm's mission statement and the equipment we had and our goals and our missions, it kind of fell into place with all those quite nicely. So from there, we went out and we started to look for markets. We found a contracted buyer, Legacy Hemp, who provides us the seed, and then we raise the crop, and in the fall or in the late summer we'll return the seed back to them. So it's already contracted. We have a buyer, and that was one of the biggest concerns is maybe we can grow it, but who's is there a market? Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at, is we planted it yesterday, and we're learning as we go.
So Randy Willie comes and says, hey, would you consider this? Yeah. You have a family tradition. What's your biggest question as someone with a little bit more farming experience than your son?
Well, making sure that we have a market, for sure. You don't want to grow it because it's unique and interesting. You want to make sure that it adds something to the bottom line. The good news was, Willie's absolutely right, it fit every spot that we're doing. We're organic, and this is organic, and we need a lot of rotational crops because you want a long number of cropping years between each crop to stave off diseases and pests and those sorts of things. And this is just another unique product or another unique plant that's not in our repertoire of crops. So this is it's a broad leaf, which is good. Corn, obviously, is the one that you can make a lot of money on. That's why so many people grow corn. Well, it's true with organics too, but we need things to rotate out of that corn so that it adds some structure back to the soil and breaks up the pest cycles. So it fit that bill really well. I think it's relatively easy to grow. They used to call it weed, and there's a reason it grows like a weed. It's very voracious. It'll get up and grow, and which means it will compete with other plants very well, so that you don't have a big weed problem when you get all done. I believe we're going to be able to combine it with our regular combines with very few or no modifications. Planting it was easy. There wasn't any issues that we had there. Fertility is nothing unique or special, so it fit right in. There isn't any issue with that. The growing season, I think, is compatible with what we have around here, so I think we'll be good on all angles.
Well, you've got, you own and rent 5,000 acres. Can you estimate how many acres you're going to devote to industrial hemp this cycle?
17.
17?
Yep.
This cycle, yeah.
This cycle,
yeah.
With an eye on growing that.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so what are you going to look for in this growing cycle to see if you should go from 17 to 50 to 75 to 100?
I think just harvestability is, and maybe weed pressure, just seeing how it how it staves off competition and ease of harvest, transport, storage. It's got a very high oil content, so there's quality issues if it's kept on a truck for very long, or if it's left in a spot without getting some air on it. So just quality issues, and then obviously if there's a market, that's the most important thing, is if people will buy it and will support it as an industry, we'll grow it. Mm-hmm.
So
I might look at it slightly different and just say that profitability would be high on my list. If we have other crops that will do all the things we want that fit our growing habits or our setup here, but if it doesn't carry its own weight, we would just grow something else that will do all of those things. If this will pay its way and give us a new rotation, now we are really very interested. So.
Well, farmers that may be watching this would want to know, do you know now what price you've been guaranteed for your crop, assuming X level of production? Do you know now?
Yes, we do. However, it's all on quality. So if
quality is measured by, excuse me for interrupting.
Quality is going to be measured on the moisture, on the percentage of foreign material. I believe there's some coloration that and size of seed, whether it's split. So basically, does it fit the specs that they want? They're also testing for certain toxins. I think there's a salmonella test that they just as a redundancy to just make sure that that's not an issue, because it's a food grade product. And then also there is the THC content that we're regulated. We have to be below a certain part per million.
Yes. Okay. Any PS on that, Rand?
Well, it would be, once again, those are the variables. We haven't grown it for grain ever in our operation, certainly long before Willie and I were here. So these are the things that we don't know. And obviously some of the things that we do as producers, cultural practices, probably will affect this. We grow sunflowers and sorghum and beets and peas and several different crops, and what we do makes a big difference on the quality, and quality, of course, is where the premiums are, and the end user wants quality stuff. And when you deal with food, it's different than with feed, because with food, it needs to be a lot more consistent. When people are making a box of Wheaties or the tortilla chips that we make, those sorts of things, you want very consistent product going in, so that you have consistent product coming out. Because once you have brand recognition, or once you are using this to bake bread or do whatever it is that you're going to do with it, you want it to be the same all the time, so that the factory, the plant, or whatever it is that the end user can come up with a product that's consistent. We grow sunflowers, and it's all about the oil content. The oil content has a lot to do with fertility, and also with harvest and with variety and rotation. So we need to make sure that we pay attention to those things. It's not just pounds, it's not just yield, it's not just dollars, it's got to be quality. And if you have the high quality, in the end, you will do better. Our experience has been, and our family has done that for years, to try to get the higher quality, more unique things, so we get a little better price and can do a much better job. And you're not taking as much out of the soil. You're taking some really good quality things out of the soil instead of tons of medium quality things. So it's a little more sustainable, I feel.
If your family hadn't grown industrial hemp for 70 years, where did you go, Willie? You're on the internet to learn how to grow it.
Honestly, a lot of publications coming out of Canada, North Dakota, places where there's a precedent. Through our contracted buyer, they've provided me resources at some time, phone time with some agronomists, and just a lot of reading. We also have a farming book, this old book that's got I don't know how old it is, but it's just this old, what's the title? How to Farm, or
yeah, something like that. It's a
does
book
it deal with industrial hemp?
There's a chapter in there.
There is.
It has some cultural practices. So.
The other thing that's really good about it is it tells you the non-chemical control of weeds. In other words, you figure out their growth cycle, and every organism has a weak point somewhere, and maybe it's when it goes to seed, maybe when it tillers, maybe it has trouble coming out of the ground, maybe plowing helps it, maybe plowing hurts it and spreads it. There's all these different tips in there, and if you look in any of the recent stuff, you don't get much of that. They'll just tell you to spray it with chemical A or chemical B, and when and how, and those sorts of things, which is of course very effective. But if you're not using those chemicals, you have to get to the root of it, no pun intended, and figure out exactly what it is that's taking care of that. So it's a little book.
What's a growing season? Now you just planted, and you would expect to harvest when?
This is a 110-day crop, industrial hemp. However, that is determined less by heat units, whereas you would probably figure that with like a crop like corn, and more by temperature. So once the days start getting shorter, the crop realizes that it's time to put on seed, and then it's indeterminate, so it's not as clear cut as to when the right time to harvest. Anecdotally, I've been told that you cut the head of it off and you smack it against the pickup truck, and when 75-80% of the seeds come off, that's when you harvest it. So I guess the short answer is we don't know exactly when it's going to be ready, and that's
the answer.
That's kind of the process here.
But because of Wisconsin's climate, you can only get one crop a year, correct?
Of this.
We could maybe sneak in an overwintering cover crop behind it, this is just a.
Does over the 110-day growing season, does it need more or less care than corn, soybeans, other crops that you're familiar with, sunflowers?
I would say way less. Especially since we solid seeded it, so we're not going to be able to cultivate. Our fertility program is, I don't believe we went into it thinking if we over fertilized it, it would get very tall and fall down. We don't want that. We would like to have short plants where we can get the head of the combine up to get just the top of the crop off. If this stuff's 10 feet tall, our combine won't go that high, and then we'll have to bring in all that fiber, and then you can have some issues. So. I think we did the right thing. We'll sure know when we get around to it.
The controversy over industrial hemp because of the confusion over marijuana. Has industrial hemp gotten a bad rap in terms of this public debate?
Yes, absolutely it has. I mentioned to you earlier that I think what happened with industrial hemp is that this product called THC that's in certain varieties or strains of this plant, that plus a bunch of hippies have really ruined the market for what could be a wonderful crop that we could use, an industrial crop. It works good for fiber, and there's also the oil in the seeds. And it's not just it has some medicinal purposes, it has some great nutritional benefits. It's just a wonderful superfood to be that needs to be utilized. And what happened was, is I think there were all the wrong people sometimes trying to promote it. And you can imagine the legislators looking at that thinking, boy, why do I want to
stay away from that?
Yeah, why would I want to get in on that? Because what would happen if? And I think that's why they put you through a background check. That's also why they want to make sure that the THC levels are a very, very low level, way below any value to somebody that would like to smoke it for recreation. So it's an industrial crop. You know, corn can be made into alcohol. In fact, it is all the time, and we aren't doing that either. We're using it for all kinds of other things, and what the heck, alcohol causes easily as much problem as THC.
I would also add, though, that I think that the misguided legislation is maybe more of the root of the actual problem as to why it wasn't allowed to grow. I don't know if necessarily proponents of one crop or another are necessarily solely to blame for this being restricted. I think it was misguided legislation, and I'm glad that they fixed it.
Yeah.
It's still labeled by the federal government a Schedule I drug. So now I'm going to get into something that you alluded to, Randy. The security. You had to apply to the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. It cost money to apply. You had to make a decision, are we going to apply to process and grow? You made a decision just to grow. You have to give them the GPS coordinates of where your 17 acres are, and you have to have it tested for THC content. Willie, you said earlier you don't have to have this level of security to have a baby.
Right.
do you want to explain that?
Well, I guess I was the one who applied for the license, and I found the process. You know, it was pretty arduous. There was a lot that went into it. It certainly wasn't impossible to fill out, but it was definitely a barrier, you know, to I think a lot of people. I realize that I'm fortunate enough to be from a family that has access to equipment and capital and ground, and I don't take that for granted. But this certainly, the process, the regulation over it was, it was a learning experience for me. I'm thankful that I get to grow it and I get to be, you know, one of the pioneers to bring it back into Rock County. I think that's pretty cool. In terms of its federal scheduling, we received certain assurances. I spoke personally with Secretary Sheila Harsdorf, and they gave us assurances that this was a legitimate crop and that we had very little to worry about. That being said, it's a risk. It's definitely a risk.
But you have no other crop in which state inspectors can show up at any time, and they have the GPS coordinates of your crops. I'm just struck by the level of intense regulation here.
Yeah.
Plus, you have to have a buyer, or any excess crop has to be destroyed. That's not the same with any soybeans or sunflowers,
sure.
Correct?
I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I wouldn't say that. We do contract specialty crops where a buyer will provide us the seed, we grow the crop, we raise it, and we promise 100% of production back to them. That's not crazy.
Okay.
That's not out of line. That's actually very common. That being said, you're absolutely right. The level of scrutiny and regulation is higher than anything we've experienced.
We have to destroy the other crop because of the chance, the fear, the concern that it might get into, quote, the wrong hands or something like that. Where when we grow beets or something like that, if we overproduce and there are too many and they just don't need them, we can't take that crop and sell it to their competitors. So it's just about dollars, really, instead of any kind of regulation or concern. So I think your point is a valid one, that this is very unique that way. They grew a lot of tobacco around here, and you had it, there wasn't GPS in those days. They still grow tobacco, but that's regulated. You're only so many acres, you can't grow anymore, and you sell it to a certain spot, and you have to have a license, and it's similar, I guess.
You made a decision to not process and grow. You made a decision to just grow. Why did you make a decision to not grow and process?
We don't have a processing facility. That's just a whole nother, that's just way out of our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be feasible for us to do without significant investment.
How do you expect your 17 acres, assuming a very successful harvest, to be used? Pretty much all for CBD or CBD plus fiber?
Neither, actually.
Neither?
I've talked to our buyer, and it sounds like this is just going to go into food-grade products, granola bars, snack foods, just run-of-the-mill food-grade products. We're not harvesting the fiber. We have a high oil seed, a high oil variety, so there's no fiber harvest, and there's, as far as I know, our buyer will not be expelling any CBD. With this year's crop.
CBD is for sale in Wisconsin. I'm just curious, do any of your family members use it? I just curious.
You know, it's funny how it comes up in conversation. You talk about it and you would just be amazed by who says, oh yeah, I have arthritis, or I have such and such ailment, and they take it. I think there is certainly a lot of scientific evidence that CBD does help alleviate the seizures and other, you know, other real serious neurological ailments, and I think that that's really cool. There's a ton of anecdotal evidence that above and beyond that, it can treat, you know, other things such as anxiety and depression. Who knows? I think what we're focused on this year is, you know, buying or growing a high grade, food grade product that has a ton of nutritional benefits, and that's kind of where it ends for us for now.
Any farmer that did you have a PS on that? No. Okay.
I'm fine.
Any farmer watching this would want to ask, is there any capital investment in new equipment for your industrial hemp product?
No, other than to make sure that your combine is up to the challenge. And I don't know how you would know that unless you took your particular make and model and tried it in a high fiber crop. We think we got some experience with the sunflowers and are aware of what can happen. It's just a wrapping that goes in and it's stringy, and instead of breaking and going through the machine, it wraps. And inside any machine like that, there's lots of turning drums and those sorts of things. And it wrapped on ours, and we just put some knives in place that cut those things, and that solved the problem. But it was a real problem until we got that. And we hope that if this is a wrapping problem, that these knives will take care of it. We have two machines, and one of them has that on and one of them doesn't, and we sure as heck will be steering away from the one that doesn't. So I would say no, other than to make sure your combine is up to the task, and most combines that I know of can be modified to make it work.
Also, right now, I think the conventional industrial hemp market is not as well developed, so just to be clear that this is organically certified ground, and the organic market seems to be have a lot more interest or a lot more marketability than the conventional for now. That sounds like it could be changing. Things always change, but that's just another point I'd make.
You were talking about the harvest end. Let's talk about the planting end. Because it is still so heavily regulated, where did you get the seed or the seedlings? I'm not even sure. Is it seed or is
it's
it seed?
It's just a seed, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just a seed.
Yeah.
So you have to tell the state who you're producer is or who you're buying seed from, correct?
Yep. So we receive the seed from the contracted buyer, Legacy Hemp out of Prescott, Wisconsin. They've been excellent to work with. They have been open and transparent, easy to work with, easy to contact. They've helped us kind of get the ball rolling with some of the regulatory hurdles, and they've advised us on everything from fertility to management to harvest. So they've been really great. They have a certain variety, X59. It's just an oilseed variety of industrial hemp. I purchased it from them. I raised the crop, I harvest it, and they're gonna buy all the production back.
Another thing that was fortunate is the DeLong Company, our local grain dealer, has stepped up to the plate, and they think that there's a lot of future in this also, and they want to be part of it. It's what they do, and they've always been good at taking on unique things, and this is certainly unique. And so now we have someone that will take the crop close to us, and that's a real plus. Every farmer will ask that question, what is the equipment thing, and then also how far do I have to go with it? And in our case, the answer is 5 miles, so we're very fortunate that way.
Well, as a grandson of a dairy farmer, I know how much farmers talk, so here's my next question. Are some of your other farmers watching your experiment very closely because they may, in the next growing season, get into hemp?
I mean, we planted it yesterday, so it's too early to tell, but...
But yeah, they ask that stuff. When we grow any of the other unique stuff, they always want to know, so how'd you do on that piece, and what did it take? And then if the answers are all good, then next year they're asking you how to do it because they're trying some too. You bet.
Because of the confusion with THC and marijuana, have you been surprised at any comments from some of your neighbors?
Not really. I think farmers are incredibly pragmatic, and they're adaptable and they're resilient, and I think that they can, see the difference, and I think that they're able to sort of navigate. The same way you wouldn't go to a farmer and say, hey, nice field of sweet corn when it's field corn. I mean, that's the cardinal sin. And this is just another crop distinction. We're all used to it. We know different varieties. We know what is what and what isn't. So the reaction I've got from a lot of growers when I talk to them about this is something I'm thinking is, good luck. I hope it works out for you. But also an interest and a support. And I haven't come across a single... negative comment or derogatory comment.
Do you think hemp could be so popular in Wisconsin that it would cut the price and it might not be as profitable as you hope it is this growing season?
Sure. That happens with every crop I've ever grown in my whole life.
Because farming is a huge risk.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
In and of itself.
And I think that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to get in on the first year, because those are the ones who are going to be able to establish the market, who are going to be able to find the buyers, who are going to establish the relationships. We're going to get in early, and you bet. If the market, if the demand is there, that's what's going to drive the price. So,
And you learn every year. You learn every year, and we will be doing a better job 2 years from now than we will do this year. And so, consequently, if you get started, get in early, and learn how, you maybe would be the go-to producer because you know how to get the oil content where they want it or the moisture where they want it and how to harvest. What kind of ground to plant it on can be huge. With a long crop like this, 100 and some days, that is indeterminate, meaning it doesn't just dry up and harvest easily. It's going to be kind of hard to harvest. You'd want that on some lighter ground, but we don't know its drought tolerance yet. Do we want it on light ground that's irrigated? Now that's a whole different story. Or do we just put it on light ground and let it get good and dry and be done? We grow peas. Peas do okay on dry ground, but boy, they need rain. This rain that we're getting right now is perfect for peas. But if you didn't know that and you planted it on the wrong type of ground, why, they might not do as well. And that's true with every crop that we grow.
How did you make a decision on what type of ground to plant your first 17 acres of hemp?
Well, it's light, it's organic, it's small, and it was close to the shop. We didn't want something that was that would have a combine tied up way across the county. It fit into, it's ground that I manage personally. It fit nicely into the rotation, so it was sort of, you know, queued up for something along this line. And I think really just, honestly, one of the biggest decisions for me was just the proximity to the farm. We could, it was close. We felt we could keep an eye on it, and it was just the right size where, you know, I didn't want to do 60 acres. I didn't want to do 5 acres. I wanted to do somewhere in the 20. That was my comfort zone, and that was the piece. So
it also fit the rotation well. Remember I talked about how important those things are, and it was, it was a broad leaf when we needed one. So it maybe would have been soybeans this year. I'm not sure, but some other crop that would fit that rotation. So there was a lot of points of light that came together to make that work.
How many years can you grow hemp without having to put it on without having to put it into a different crop?
As I know, just one. I have read some studies that said that had some guidelines for, you know, raising hemp on the same ground year after year, but I believe that was on the conventional side without a real explicit letter of recommendation from your organic certifier. I couldn't see, and you wouldn't want to, because of the pests and the disease buildup. I mean, you want to keep Mother Nature guessing, you know, by throwing it different crops every year.
Right.
So,
yep.
Well, we're almost out of time, so just a couple more questions. What do you think is the greatest challenge, your greatest fear, with your first hemp crop in 70 plus years?
I think harvest is our fear, that we don't have the wrapping, that we can get it dry, that we can, you know, deliver a crop that's of high quality. That's really what we want to do, and we've gone to great lengths to try to do this. Planting it, broadcasting it rather than putting it in rows made all kinds of sense. Normally with organics you want to put it in rows. With soybeans you might broadcast it or you might be drilled, but organically you put it in rows so you can cultivate it, keep the weeds down. With this, we spread it out there with the idea being, and Willie found this little tip from a gentleman in Canada, I believe, that if you put them in rows, they will sucker or tiller out, and then you will have the main stalk going up with the head on it that you're after, and then there's these smaller ones that are lower, and when they're lower like that, you have to put the head of the combine down to get them all. Now you're taking a lot of the fiber in, and that's what's going to plug that combine up. By broadcasting it, we're hoping that they are all even in a lot of competition. It's nice and thick out there. All the heads are the same size, and we just go through and take the heads off. It'll combine way easier if that works. We'll find out if it works.
I think for me, I just want to do a good job of raising it. You know, it's whether I want to admit it or not, you know, my success or failure out there is going to kind of represent the success or failure of the crop for a lot of people in the county. And I just hope that I do a good job of growing it.
And it fits with the mission, which your website says, grow and produce wholesome food in an environmentally sustainable way, right?
Yeah, that's us. Absolutely.
And you want to be, you want to do your, is it your great-great-grandma, Maud, proud?
Yeah.
Because she raised it here?
It would be his great.
Great.
Great-grandma. Yeah.
And you got a picture of her with industrial hemp crop back in the 1940s.
Yeah.
So a family tradition, sixth generation.
Yeah, that's right.
Willie and Randy, thanks so much for having Wisconsin Eye here to talk about your first industrial hemp crop. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for your interest in agriculture. We appreciate it.
Thank you.